We are in an interview with Mrs. Grace Pritchard in her home near Falsetta, Nebraska, on the 28th of April, 1978. And I wonder, Mrs. Pritchard, if you would just sort of give us a background of your own family history, who your father was, what his name was, your mother's name, your mother's maiden name, and so forth. And, we'll just keep asking you questions and try to develop whatever we can.
Well, my father's name is Albie Sheets, and my mother's name was Cora Humler. She was Cora Humler Sheets. But I think maybe that they've been gone for a number of years, her parents.
Where was your father's home? Where?
Well, they moved there from Ohio when he was just a small boy, I think.
Do you know where in Ohio they lived?
No, I think it was Dayton, but I wouldn't say for sure.
You know, we were back in Dayton.
No.
Just the other day, and checking on some names, and we saw an awful lot of Sheets names in the census records. Well, last century, we saw some cemeteries in north of Dayton that looked like they were just full of Sheets.
Well, that's probably where they came from then, because if I would get something to check back on it, I couldn't say definitely, because...
Now, were they Church of the Brethren people?
Yes, Well, I don't know his mother was, because she came from Pennsylvania, and but they always went to Navarre and belonged to Navarre Church.
Now, her maiden name, your mother's maiden name was?
Humler.
Humler.
Humler,
Do you know her father's given name?
Well, his name was I don't know why I couldn't say
it's
that.
It's all right if you don't. Okay. Do you happen to know the names of the brothers or sisters of your mother?
Well, yes. Howard Humler lived around there, around the bar, quite an enterprise in recent years, and that's where he died. But she had another brother that lived in Harrington, Joe Humler, and another brother that lived out at Ellis, Kansas, in western Kansas. And his name was Robert Humler. So they weren't.
Did she have sisters?
Well, yes, Mabel was that always went to the bar church. Her name was Mabel Stott. She married.
Oh, yes.
Earl Stott from around the bar there. And then after he died, they went to Abilene. She and her daughter belonged to the church there in Abilene.
And her daughter's name was?
Zernico.
We visited with her last Saturday.
I see, Well, I was down last summer to Aunt Mabel's funeral and saw them then. And she had another sister, Aunt Rosie, that lived around Harrington. Her name was Schaefer, but I don't think they ever been around Navarre very much.
How about your father's brothers and sisters?
Well, they were all more or less right around Navarre. Joe Sheets and Dave Sheets and Jess Sheets. And they had another brother, Will Sheets, but he lived in Navarre when I was small, but they moved away and then he died and he was buried back there in Navarre, I think.
Were there any girls? Did he have any sisters?
Well, sister Aunt Maggie, and her name was Maggie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman and Harry Kaufman. And
their mother?
Their mother, they're my cousins, Harry Kaufman and Charlie Kaufman. And Ethel Rock, she was a Kaufman.
Oh, is she a sister of Charlie?
Yeah,
We didn't know that.
Well, she's up at the Browns nursing home, or not nursing home, but home. Been staying there. She liked it real well. I saw her last fall when I was down there, and she just thought that was just it, living there, and everything pretty. She didn't have to worry about anything freezing up, and I don't know what all.
Well, then, how about your brothers and sisters? Who is in your family, just for the record here?
Well, that's Willametta, my sister, lives in Navarre, and Oscar Sheets lives just a couple miles out of Navarre, and Harm and Simon live right in the bar. So they've just retired and moved. Simon has just retired and moved there, but Harm has lived there for some time.
What was Oscar's wife's maiden name?
Oh, well, Creech. May Creech.
Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we know, but we ought to have it on tape. Willametta's husband's name.
Edward Huffman.
Yeah, let's see, Roy. Now, let's talk about your husband. His name?
Harry Pritchard.
Where was he from?
Well, he was born up here north of Falls City. And then they lived there until their mother died. And then when Dad remarried again, why, he married a lady, her name was Odie Fisher, and they was given a farm down near Navarre, where Dale Sterner lives right now.
Oh, we know the place.
Mm-hmm. And they were given the next place on the corner north. That's where we lived at when we were first married, there where Dale Sterner lives.
Oh. And well, now, you met your husband in the Navarre?
Going to school over there at 99.
Oh.
I went from the east, and he come from the west, and went to 99 school. It was right there on the corner, but it's all torn away. There's only a little evergreen tree there anymore. You can distinguish where the spot is.
Well, now, do you know where that is, Rowena? I'm not thinking.
No.
Like, where is that from Dale's house?
The school, where the schoolhouse used to be?
Yes.
It is going east. Well, but of course, where Dale lived, you went a half mile north.
Yes.
And then going east a mile.
East a mile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But yeah. The folks lived on the house that joins on the north. And they come from the north to that corner and then over to the schoolhouse. And my folks lived over where Oscar lives now, which was a mile and a half from the schoolhouse. We went a half mile north and half a mile west. Schoolhouse, and that's where we met when we were kids. Of course, after we went to school, we kind of got separated. I went to McPherson, and he went to Abilene High School, Enterprise to start with, and then to Abilene.
Now, you took academy work at McPherson.
Yes, uh-huh.
Was your husband Brethren?
Well, he joined with the Brethren Church, but he didn't go, they hadn't gone there before. When they were kids, the folks had some neighbors that lived there close by them, and their name was Witters. And they took these boys over to the, I don't know what the name of that church is, we always call it the River Brothers.
Well, I think that would be a right name, I guess, for some of it.
Well, it's over in west of Navarre,
uh-huh.
Where they would, and then these boys went to church there with them until they were going away to high school, I guess.
So you went to McPherson for your academy work?
Yeah, Dad. We didn't have no buses that took you to Chapman like they do now, you know, and he thought you went to McPherson and stayed up there with those kids that didn't know what you'd be doing, so they sent me down to McPherson. He thought they'd look after me.
Did they?
Well, pretty good.
When did you go down there for the academy?
I graduated in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura Trussell was our matron at that time. And Dad knew her pretty well, too.
Did you know Evelyn Trussell?
No, I didn't.
She taught there, but a little bit before that, I think she might have been away from there. We talked to Evelyn Trussell earlier this year out in Palo Alto, California.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Do you happen to remember Mrs. John W. Dieter, who taught maybe art and English?
No,
She's still teaching art students out in Claremont, California. I just thought you might have.
No, I don't remember them. Uh-uh.
What things do you think of about your days at McPherson? I mean, did they keep you boxed up pretty well in the dormitory? Did Laura Trussell make you behave?
I don't know. I I can't say that anything that was went on that was.
Well, I have the impression that most of the kids in those days were maybe more mature than they are now. I don't know if that's right or not.
Well, I don't think they're as wild as they are now. Maybe you get in so much trouble.
Yeah, maybe there wasn't as much trouble to get into.
Well, maybe not.
Now, what age were you when you were there? Would you have been about high school age?
Well, yes, I'm just right after I got out of grade school. Uh-huh. And
well, did the academy kids live in the same dorm with the college age kids?
Yes, we did, uh-huh. Because I had some college girls that we always kind of wished that you could be as grown up and look as nice as they did.
Did you feel much of a gap between the academy kids and the college kids, or did you ever think about that much? They didn't try to hold up their noses to the
oh,
academy
no,
kids.
I think they were just quite friendly. We went down to the, what do they call that, the dining room? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And all ate together, and they kept changing the tables around. You was moved from one place to another. You got acquainted with that table, and then you was moved somewhere else.
Now, they were doing that when we were there.
I see, those. Uh-huh.
You had your meals at that time down in Arnold Hall.
Yes,
and that was that the building you lived in also?
Yes, uh-huh. But I've been down there once when, like these girls that I told you about, that we always chummed together, and we go downtown together or go to meetings when there would be something downtown. We walk downtown together, and forgot what I was going to start to tell you.
Did they have a closing hour for you to get back?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Well, let's see. Rowena, do you have any questions there? I'm just trying to think whether we were picking up all of the things that we might do.
Well, and then when I graduated from McPherson, I taught school around Navarre there, you know. It was one time was West Navarre, and the other time was over, stayed with my aunt and uncle Dave Sheets, and I was up there for a couple of years, and that's when I got to go meeting my husband again, and they was farming out in that territory. His dad had farmed out there, you know.
Then you indicated when you were married, you lived in that community. How long did you live there?
About 8 years. Moved up here in 1931.
Where did you live? Right in this area somewhere where you
well,
are?
Well, just a couple miles north here and a mile west over there. And that's where his folks had moved to Abilene. And then when his stepmother drew a farm over here, which is, like I said, 2 miles north and a mile west, and they lived there. And then they moved back to Nebraska. Well, my husband thinks there was no place like Nebraska to farm. He could raise corn, and it was better than raising wheat down in Kansas. So we come up here to Nebraska, and he farmed over there with his dad, and we lived over there for about 22 years on that place.
But mostly, did you raise livestock? Did
oh,
livestock?
Yeah, he was a great livestock man. Had more livestock than he could take care of, I think.
What, cattle and hogs both?
Yeah, and sheep and
sheep.
Horses and everything else.
Well, that has a familiar ring to me. I grew up on an Iowa farm, so I have a feel for this corn stuff, too.
Yeah, well.
It sounds familiar to me.
Well, you always had something to feed this livestock, and Kansas should. You didn't feed the wheat too much, you
that's
know,
right.
and still right. Like to have livestock, too.
You always was in the livestock business then?
Well, more or less, uh-huh. But more after we lived out over there on a farm, and then we owned this farm over here, but didn't have the buildings on it just so much. And had come back and forth over here and farmed here, too.
Then what, you came over here when you retired and built
the house? Well, I built this house then, and then because his health wasn't too good, and it's too hard to get good help and hand him. So built the house, and he only lived there for a year after we moved over here.
Is that right?
He had cancer, and for a couple of years he wasn't a bit good.
Now, when did he pass away?
In 1965. March 1965.
I don't know whether, did we get his family all in this? I can't remember whether we got his brothers and sisters. Are they the Richards that we would know about? Or?
Well, I don't think you'd know any of them outside of them. Well, Guy Pritchard was his brother, you know. It's just the two boys, and Guy and Harry, from the first marriage, when their mother died. And then there's three children from the second wife, which is Harold Pritchard. He goes back and forth down to Navarre around there, has land there right north of where I said Dale Sterner's, where the folks had the farm.
Now that name is spelled, some Pritchards are P-R-I-T-C-H.
Well,
this is not.
No, and it sounds like it should have, I think, but don't.
But you're not related to that other bunch at all, or your husband wasn't. So far as you know, the different spelling sometimes.
No, I don't think.
Spell it, but that's
no,
a different family. What do you do to keep yourself busy in retirement?
Oh, well, I kept the livestock for quite a while, just sold off the cows last winter, and now cattle's getting to be a good price.
Well, you manage that? Did you have any cattle on this place?
Yeah, well, we didn't own that place where we lived over there. That belonged to his stepmother.
Oh.
We just lived there, you know. But I had just kept the cows, raised the calves, and sell the calves off, and then.
Did
keep
you,
the cows over the winter.
Did you do some of the caretaking of the cattle yourself?
Oh, I fed them, yes, yeah, sure. Looked
good.
After them, yeah. But it got to be quite a chore, you know, and you can't always get the help to fix the fences and take care of things.
Uh-huh.
And so I was glad I didn't have them last winter when we had so much snow.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've rented the pasture, and the man that rents the farm has the cattle over here now.
Uh-huh. You've been keeping yourself very busy with all you need to
well,
be.
Well, I haven't been.
You're hard in retirement, are you?
Well, more or less the last year, but I just decided I was getting about the age, I guess I should give up the cows, and people keep saying, well, you might get hurt out there, nobody around. And then I had to have eye surgery, and so I knew I'd have to be gone, so I kind of decided that for me that was the best thing to do.
What kind of eye surgery?
Well, I had a cataract removed from my right eye.
Must have been real successful.
Well, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'll probably have to have the other one about maybe next fall. I don't know. He hasn't told me exactly yet.
Well, they do a good job on those things anymore.
Well, it seemed to, but.
Well, I don't know. This is really. Do you think of anything else? Okay, she gets commenting about your show horses and that your husband and you went to horse shows, that kind of thing.
Yes,
could you tell
uh-huh.
us a little about that? How'd you get into the show horse business? What kind of horses did you have and so forth?
They were Palmitas, these here that we rode in pair together in pairs. They he just particularly liked horses and always did have some riding horses and but after we got them and got to riding in pairs, and the different shows we went was on a point system where if you won first, you got so many points, and second and third, you know, and at the end of the year, then why they would have a meeting where they awarded the prizes. But you got prizes from each time that you went to the show, you know. If you got first, you'd get the trophy and so much money, and sometimes the money, and or second prize even.
Did you win a good many prizes?
Yeah, do you want to see the trophies and the ribbons?
Yeah, stay there and just tell us about it first, then we'll look. What kinds of prizes did you win?
Well, you did win the trophies. They didn't always all give trophies, but on this point system they usually did.
Did you win more than your share?
Well, we've done pretty well, as a rule.
Now, how big an area would be involved in these horse shows?
That's a kind of a crazy idea to go that far just to show horses. But
how far did you go?
Well, into Missouri more of these were, but then we went from here in Nebraska, you'd go to Lincoln, Omaha, and maybe over Shenandoah, Iowa, and Clarinda, Iowa, and then down in Kansas, we've gone to Raytown, that's Missouri, I believe, Raytown, Missouri.
Now, when you would win,
and Lawrence,
you'd get a trophy and also sometimes a cash prize.
Oh, yeah, and you always got a ribbon. I'll have to show you that whole drawer of ribbons.
How big a cash prizes do they give on those things?
Well, that kind of varied, but I know that the one time we got a trophy at $60, I can remember that one. But that was Sedalia, Missouri. Now, that's quite a ways, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a fair that time.
What's the furthest you ever went to show horses?
Well, I think that was about as far. Well, we've been to Des Moines, Iowa,
yeah,
one time. And that was in connection with their fair.
Did you raise stock from these horses and sell show horses?
Well, no, we never raised them to sell, like purebreds that people raise, no.
Well, that's a real interesting, I'm glad we got that on tape, because this is a real interesting facet. Yeah, we ought to take a look at those. I wish there's somebody to put those on tape, but I guess there's no way we can do it. Bareback.
Well, it had one old horse that we had for 20-some years that always rode after the cattle, out after the cows, when I used to help milk, and just ride her up along the gate and throw an old coot over her and set on right after the cows. That one we could ride without a saddle, but these we just showing I wouldn't want to ride without a saddle.
Well, that is really interesting. I have a fondness for horses too. Part of my growing up, no show horses. We had horses we used on cattle, all right.
Well, it was some years ago, you know, that's the way they farmed.
Yeah.
And they had quite a few horses then when we lived down there in Kansas, then when they raised wheat and they had to plow with horses, you know. And we used little gang plows and about five horses on each plow.
Yeah.
Have somebody helping.
Well, things have changed from then.
Well, I should say they have, and they've changed for the way you think back how Mother used to have to raise those six kids.
Well, maybe we better let this lady alone, Roy. I don't know. We sort of picked her brain here.
You know, I don't recall anything. I'm just thinking right off, you know. But
I don't remember whether we got on here about this circle letter you had going with these girls. I think you told us that before we turned the tape on. Who were the girls that had been writing this circle letter?
Loretta Yoder. Then you mean the school names?
Yes, yes.
And Martha Mugler.
Now, Loretta Yoder was Mrs. Augsburger.
Yes. And Irene Mishler. She's Irene Dart from California now. And Myrtle Robinson. And land, I don't know whether I can even tell you what her name was before she's married. Can't think of it now. And did I say Martha?
I believe. I believe.
And Loretta.
Now, you've had that circle letter going for?
Ever since we quit and graduated and then all left high school down there.
Did you ever save any of those letters?
Well, no, I don't know if I ever saved any of them. Well, you just write in and send it on to the next one, and then they take it out and put a new one in. Martha keeps it a-going. if anybody gets sick and they haven't been answering her anything, like Myrtle, why, and she lost kind of her mind, you know, and she's in the nursing home, why, her husband lived for a while, and he always answered all the letters, and then finally he died, and now we don't hear from her, but every once in a while, Myrtle, Martha will write to her daughter and want to find out how she's doing.
Now, Martha Mugler, that's her name now is Schemmerhorn.
Yes,
Well, we've heard a number of people, including Dr. Moeller's class. They've had a circle letter going for longer than that, of course.
Yeah, sure.
And we've talked to several of those people. Raymond C. Florey was around there a long time before you were. I was named after him. I didn't know it at the time. He was on the China mission field when I was born. But he's still very active in California, and his sister, Mrs. S.C. Miller, we saw in Chicago.
They've
had a circle letter going for 70-some years.
I think maybe Martha might have been the one that started this. I can't remember how got it started, but...
Well, that is interesting. Well, Rowena, we've threatened to quit... But tormenting this woman, we better let her alone, I suppose.
This comment is added after the interview and after we had left Mrs. Pritchard's home. She did indeed have very many awards, which they had received in their horse shows, and had one large drawer in the bottom of a wall cabinet that I suppose is 3 or 3.5 feet long and maybe 16 inches wide and probably a foot deep, that was almost literally filled with ribbons which they had won. It's that drawer of ribbons to which she made reference on the tape. And she seemed to be strong and in good health, and it seemed a little remarkable to us that she was feeding cattle and taking care of them, living there by herself, but she seemed not to offer any apologies for doing it. I think the last winter, which is just concluded, that is the winter of 77-78, was a very severe winter, and I think she commented that it was a good thing she wasn't trying to care for the cattle during that winter.
We may find out something about her, just click right now. Well, you better come back for the...